Amen. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Let's give our Lord a hand of praise for Rachel and her message. You know, take a step back and relax, and everything's going to be all right. You know, I want to thank the Lord for giving us a platform to bring a message out to those that are listening around the world, and also those that are maybe possibly local, and those that are here today. And if there is anyone out there listening that are able to make that move to come out, it's a lot different when you're out. You know, God can actually minister and direct your heart. We are in the summer hours, so keep everybody in prayer as they do the summer thing. Amen? Amen. Well, we have been moving forward, and in this place, I want to call it's a rhema word kind of thing, where God is speaking and building us up and growing us, and he's communicating us into the area of where we are growing in him. And he is bringing us into a deeper knowledge of grace, and we're the stewards of grace. And grace is a spiritual knowledge and a spiritual understanding of the Spirit. You know, we are carnally made with carnal minds, and we live in a world which is carnal. And God is calling us to him, and God is a spirit. And he's calling us to come into a spirit, to come to him in spirit. Not only in spirit, but in truth, in grace. And he is beginning to show us, you know, the simplicity of the gospel. We have a gospel message that is not complicated. The message that we have is filled with wonders and glory of you being able to be yourself and to come away from the nature and the evil place of nature, because nature is evil, and come into the spirit world, which is divine and holy in him. And so, with that being said, the word that I feel that God is bringing us is, be holy, for I am holy. And right away, you would think, what is it to be holy? What in your mind, how would you think if God says, be holy because I'm holy? What would you think in your mind of what holiness is? And you're really going to get blown away when you begin to find out what holiness is. And I have some scripture that I'll read in a little bit, but we begin to start understanding what sin is. And most of us think that we are sinners and we're just bad people. And that's kind of like what the traditions of men have been trying to bring us into a place to lead us to God. And God is like saying, no, get away from the guilt and the shame and the condemnation, because the guilt, shame, and condemnation is, you know, not, how should I say, the nature that I have given you, the Spirit of God that I have adopted you into, because we're all adopted. How many people realize that we're adopted? You know, might not even think that we're adopted, but we're adopted. We're adopted to come back to God. We're adopted as, first of all, illegitimate. There you go. That was a tongue twister. Illegitimate sons and daughters, and our father in the world is considered the father of lies. And then we are adopted to the father of truth, and we are to be called to come back to him. I'm giving you like a quick scenario of it. And we are to be transformed into a divine nature, because God is a spirit. And as long as we live in the natural, our minds are in the natural realm. So we have to begin to change the way we're thinking. But what God is saying in this hour is be holy, for I am holy. Now, to come out of sin, we are saved through grace. And this is what this gospel is trying to bring across to the world, an understanding of grace. And through grace, we're beginning to understand sin. Sin is nothing more than overly passionate desires. Yes, not listening to that still small voice that is written on our hearts. It convicts us, and then we bring it in and we change the way we're thinking. Yes, if we're not obedient to that conviction in our heart, yes, then it ends up becoming, we're disobedient and we become walking in sin. But moving beyond that, God is calling us to be holy. So holiness is simply coming to a place where we come out of guilt, shame, and condemnation. Guilt is basically feeling unworthy, ashamed. I won't say shamed yet. Guilt is, give me some references of guilt. Not feeling worthy, maybe that you made a mistake or you did something that you regret. Maybe you're in patterns and you know that your patterns aren't healthy for you for some reason. How many people know that they can change just the way they're living right now? Their patterns of lifestyle is just not cool. We can change. Shame. Let's look at shame. Maybe something in the past you feel bad about. Maybe something that you just did yesterday you feel bad about. Maybe we reacted a certain way we feel bad about. And then I want to say condemnation. Condemning yourself. Maybe you don't think that you look all that good. Maybe you feel as though that you're not physically, mentally strong enough. Maybe you feel uneducated or unworthy. How many of us ever had those thoughts before? I mean, let's be real about it. So this guilt, shame, and condemnation needs to be casted out. That's why the Bible says there is no condemnation in Christ. So when we take on a new nature, we have to war against this guilt, shame, and condemnation. This thought pattern of saying we're not worthy, or we're not suitable, or we're not qualified, or, you know, all these attacks and lies that we have all the time in our heads. We look at things too naturally, and we beat ourselves up. We put ourselves down. And I know sometimes I'm a victim of that because of certain circumstances. You know, we're in a place, and we sing songs, and you know, God says, I'm the God who gives and a God who takes away, and all. And how many of us looked at ourselves and judged our circumstances? How many of us? Maybe our financial circumstances, maybe our health circumstances, maybe our educational circumstances, maybe our lifestyle circumstances. And we begin to live in this place of not having any joy or happiness in it. How many of you have ever came to that place where they don't actually feel good about where they're at or where they've been or what happened to us, you know, or circumstances that we went through, maybe relationships, or whatever it might have been through our past. This is what God is saying. He's like, we gotta like put all this stuff and throw it away. Our minds have to be renewed in an area of starting to rejoice and be grateful and thankful for where we're at. It's like coming into worship. Not many people understand what worship is. Worship is not just singing songs. Worship is having a heart of gratitude, having a heart of gratefulness, having a heart of thankfulness. You know, not looking back and condemning ourselves in our past or even our presence or even into the future. And when God says, be holy for I am holy, what he's really saying to us is We got to start counting everything as joy. We need to begin to put away the past, put away yesterday, put away our worries of our future, and begin to just be grateful. Come into that place of worship. Come into that place of praise. I know a lot of times it's difficult when you got, you know, circumstances facing you in front of you. I mean, we all run into trials. We all run into tribulations. We all run into inconveniences. We all run into a lot of things that play havoc to our minds. How many are tormented based on everyday stuff? And your minds are all alternated based on circumstances. We battle. There are always battles. Some have more battles than others. That might not be true. They might be battling in areas that you might not be battling in, and then yet they're battling in areas that, you know, vice versa. But I look at it as we're all tormented and at war with, I want to say, lies. Because God created us and made us, and He has ordained our future, our present, and our past, and it's all been laid out by Him. It's how we're handling it, how we're coming into a place of dealing with life. And God has given each and every one of you a life. That's why He says, don't be jealous or envy of others, because your life is given to you. And He wants you to actually discover the life that He has given you. But what are we doing with it? What are we actually doing with the life that He has given us? Are we consuming it, being concerned about others? Are we consuming our lives and getting involved in other people's business? Are we consuming our lives by just not doing anything with our own? Or are we sitting there complaining, not feeling good about ourselves? I mean, I look at myself and I'm a victim of it. And if we're not honest with ourselves, then we're just deceived. God's saying, be holy, for I am holy. And when He began to speak those words to me, I began to ask God, show me what is holiness. Show me. He's like, well, let me tell you one thing. Your passionate desires that are stealing your peace is obviously bringing you in sin. So renounce those passionate desires that are stealing your peace and your joy. Those things that are around you that are stealing your joy and stealing your peace, you gotta renounce them. You gotta let them go. You gotta release them. Whether they're right or wrong, good or bad, whatever it is, grab them and bring them into submission. That's coming into a place of holiness. You're being set free and delivered of sin. You're actually being removed by sin. And as your sin is being removed, now what is more holy? I want to be holy. I want to be holy. How many of us here want to be holy? At least in the eyes of God. Amen? Yeah. I want to be holy in the eyes of God. I want Him to look at me and say, well done, my faithful servant. Well done. Well, one of the things that we have to learn to come into holiness is you got to war against the thoughts in our head. All the wars and rumors of wars and the imaginations that come in, we have to war from them. We have to war to them, and we have to embrace the mind of Christ. Now, somebody give me the definition of a mind of Christ. What would you think a mind of Christ is? Something that's going to think holy, noble, good. Something that's going to meditate on good. Something that's going to look above and not meditate on things that are rotten, I want to say. Things that are going to be negative. The way I look at it, that's not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is good. Who cares? God says, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And that is coming into holiness. I thank God for the grace that He has given us. I thank God because it's making it a little easier to be holy. It's making it a little easier. Yes, it's work. Everything's work. You got faith and you got works. And if you don't work out your salvation, guess what? You might as well just get off the fence and go right into the unholiness world that you came from. You might as well just go right in. Why bother trying to do something half worthy? That's the way I look at it. You know, we're only deceiving ourselves if we're not coming to God in holiness. We're only deceiving ourselves. It's like, well, I like this, and because I like this, I'm going to keep this. And I don't like that, so because I don't like that, and it's easy for me, I think I'm going to work on this. And then because I overcame and accomplished this, I feel good. I feel like I got holiness. You know, it's not like that. God wants holiness. How many of us are doing things that we know we could change? How many of us knowingly, but because of our weakness, we subject to fall and we pick ourselves back and then we're so easily to fall again? How many are subject to that? Okay, well, we gotta stop. I know that's hard to say, but we gotta stop. We gotta say to ourselves, you know what? If I was able to recognize it and see it, I need to begin to start changing. I know with my own heart, and I'm speaking for myself, I wore just trying to obtain peace. I wore every day just trying to deal with joy. There are circumstances in my life that I can't do anything about them, but I get frustrated every day. But I got to continue to grow, and I got to continue to not give in and begin to say, you know what? And begin to think a certain way. That's coming into holiness. If I can put it in a simple form, holiness is getting out of our slump, our negative depression, our incapabilities, our depressed life, and lifting ourselves up out of our circumstances. Now, everybody has the same problems. If you look around, everybody could say to themselves, my life could be better than what it is. I could have this, I could have that, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. And we're searching when it's right in front of us. It's right in front of us. What is making it difficult is the wars and the rumors of the wars. What is making it hard is the lies that are in our heads. And God is saying, I want you to cast them down and come to me as being holy. Be holy, for I am holy. I want to share something with you out of Scripture. It's in Peter. It says 1 Peter, I believe. And it's over here. It says 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelations of Jesus Christ. You know, the scriptures are saying right here, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you. Then it says, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance. So basically what he's saying is, you've already learned and understand about what sin is. Brush yourself off. Raise yourself up. Take the grace that has been given. Renew our minds. You got to get rid of the old patterns. The old patterns that we're so quickly, easily to go back to. How many of us tend to reflect on the same thing over and over and over? How many of us tend to get into that position of knowing truth, knowing grace, yet we have the same, I want to say, whine, same battle, same cry on our heart, same constant repetitive issue. Even though we have it, let's say for me, right now in my life, finances. That's obvious, right? Do I battle them? Yes. Am I deprived sometimes because I'd like to give when I don't have? Yes. But what do? I say to my mind, mind, shut up. And if your heart is to give, give. Because guess what? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And as I've been warring against those lies, every time I give, tomorrow is a blessing. Next thing you know, before I thought that I was stuck with a situation, all of a sudden someone comes along and says, I'll buy all them goats from you. Why? Because I said, lies, shut up, and gave when I didn't have to give. I want the lessons that I've been learning fall on your lap. I want you to begin to understand that these lies that we tend to entertain and we believe hold us back from our blessings. When our minds are not renewed into the thought patterns of Christ, and we continue to worship another God because we're worshiping the thoughts that come into our minds that are not the mind of Christ, we're being robbed from our blessings. We're being robbed from our inheritances. We're being robbed from our life. And God wants to give you and fulfill every desire that is within inside of us. But as we entertain these thoughts, and we're not sober-minded, and we continue to keep entertaining these thoughts, we're carnally minded. We're looking at the carnal world. We're looking at it. If I kept looking at my situation and not blessed because my heart wanted to give, I would have been robbed from blessings. I remember there's a gentleman in my life, and I said to him, I said, you just don't understand my circumstances. I said, I have a daughter that's coming up. She has a birthday, and I want to give her something because she's always helping and she's always, you know, doing. You know, she's a big help in my life. And, you know, I felt in my heart sad. How many would feel sad if they can't give a loved one something that they love and they're always there for you? And then I began to hear the Lord say, why are you believing the lies? Why are you submitting yourself to that realm when I have called you as a child of mine? I have called you, and what I have is far above the sand of the shores. I own everything in the world. Everything is mine. So what did I do? I listened to him and I said, you're right. Now, this is going to take some faith, people. I'm not asking you to go do things erratical. Move according to your heart. But I went ahead and I bought her that gift. I bought her a birthday gift, and it wasn't that I had it, but I said, and not only did I buy the one, I bought it something that was much better than what she wanted. And it opened her heart up. How happy were you?
Really happy.
She was really happy. And that made me really happy. And then I just was like very happy and just enjoying the moment And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call. And what I thought was becoming hopeless, moving my goats out of the farm, I had a knock on the door. And the gentleman says, "I want to look at your goats." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, come on over." Because there's all tire kickers. How many people realize that there's tire kickers out there and they really never follow through? And I'm believing that this is another tire kicker because I sent a kind of a funny message back like, "Sure, how many you want to buy? All of them?" And he replied, "Maybe." So he comes over and he's like, "I love your goats. I want to buy them all. Not only do I want to buy them all, but as a breeder you are, I want to buy them every year. You don't have to go nowhere else. You can just come right to me." And not only did he buy them, but he's buying them for the price that I asked. No negotiating. Amen? Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. But that wasn't in existence. And what I'm trying to say is we got to start living in the spiritual realm, because I truly believe if I didn't move and wallowed in my worries and my fears in the areas where I was, and I held back blessings, I held back giving blessings, I don't believe I'd ever get that phone call. I don't believe I would have gotten that phone call, and I feel that I would still have been stuck with them goats out there. I truly feel as if God is saying, come into holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. The mind is an enemy of God, and we're all beginning to understand this. But the mind is a part of us. And to try to think the mind of Christ, it's foreign to us. To think about good things when your whole world is falling apart is impossible. To think about good things and you're physically suffering, it's impossible. When you're thinking about good, trying to think about good things, and you don't have good things around you, it's impossible. How many can say amen to that? But God is saying, be holy, for I am holy. And the only thing that's separating us from Him and me, Him and us, is this mind. Once we bring this mind into the mind of Christ and begin to think on noble things, to things that aren't going to steal our peace and steal our joy, when we can think and act by faith, knowing, if our hearts are saying, and listen, our hearts are deceivingly wicked. Let's not get, you know, a wrong idea. We can be deceived based on our own lustful desires. But if our heart is to give to someone else, we're not giving to ourselves. We're not feeding ourselves. We're giving to someone else. When your heart is there to give to someone else, whether it's to give them, you know, comfort or peace, or get them to a place of feeling joy for the moment, to pull them out of their own miry pit and spend the day with them, even though it's robbing from your day. If you can sacrifice yourself and give and then be grateful and actually rejoice in that, I'm going to tell you right now, it's literally setting you free and releasing inheritance in your own life. And if we want to receive an inheritance in our own lives, we need to learn this mystery. We need to learn this grace. We need to be able to come out of ourselves and be able to be a sacrifice for others. And then God will provide your needs. I believe we're stuck and trapped in circumstances because we're not coming into this revelation. I don't believe that we're entering into this revelation. Our lives are still all about us. Our lives are still all about, look, God is not about him. He's about you. And he's given his life for us. He's given us a chance for redemption. We're always going to him for help, aren't we? We're always going to God and asking God for help. We're always going to him. And what's he doing? Unconditionally showing us mercy, unconditionally showing us love, unconditionally always revealing himself to us when we can take that moment and sacrifice ourselves. I truly believe that God is saying it's time to move on from the milk of the gospel and start coming into the meat of the gospel and applying all the truth that has been given to us and begin to long and know him the more. To be able to say to ourselves, listen, I'm going to be a living sacrifice. I want my life to be a living sacrifice. I want my life to be able to give unconditionally and not dwell and waddle in my own miry muck. When you come out of yourself, do you know that you're actually giving to others? How many people understand that one? You don't even have to give them monetary things. When you come out of yourself, you're actually giving yourself to others. Listen, sometimes you might have to step out of a situation because we might be overwhelming ourselves. We have to understand how a sacrifice operates. I love my three daughters. I love them very much. You know, a sacrifice of my love to them is to give them their life. Here it is. And not be involved. Not be involved. How many times can we control somebody's life by our opinions and what we think? Even when we want to try to protect them. Think about it. Even though we think we're doing something good for them. We get into people's business. We get into their lives. We get into them. We need to begin to be a sacrifice and work out our own salvation. Our salvation is the most important thing. When we stand before the Lord, and many people might have a hard time, he's going to just look at us, one individual. He's going to look just at me. He's not going to care about what this one did to me or this one said to me or this one, you know, or that one. He's not going to do it. He's not going to look at my children and what they're doing for me or what I'm doing for them. He's going to look at me. That's it. That's it. And God is saying, be holy, for I am holy. And I truly believe that he is taking sin out of our lives by the renewing of our minds. How many of us, just through the teachings of the grace of sin, have been free of feeling shamed or guilt or allowing other things to come into your life because you realize it's not bad? How many here, just here, alone? I know within myself, I know I'm like, you know what? I'm going to live my life. If I don't have a passionate desire that it's controlling me, then there's nothing wrong. There were times where I used to beat myself up and question myself watching a TV show and maybe hearing curse words on the TV show. Or sex scenes or what have you, you know? And when someone is trying to be holy, you know, you would think, oh, they're inappropriate to watch. Has anyone ever felt that way before? Well, if no one felt that way before, that's good. Because you shouldn't feel that bad. I mean, you know, it's movie. Who cares? As long as you're not watching full, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're not got to go run outside now and be hungry as a wolf. You know, that's where you enter into sin. This is how sin enters in. But, you know, all things are good. Not all things are edifying. And we spoke about that, you know, a couple weeks ago or what have you, where you don't want to drag someone in who has problems or who has issues in areas like that. Like, you don't, if someone has a drinking problem, you don't bring them to the bar. But if you don't have a drinking problem, then you could go have a, you know, go to the bar. I shared with somebody not too long ago who I love very dearly. So how are you going to, you know, meet somebody if you don't put yourself in those areas of opportunity? Go to a bar. You know, bar in today's world, everybody is like looking for a date. They don't know where else to go. You can't go to a restaurant because most of the people that go to a restaurant are already out with a date. You know, you can go to the dating sites, but we found out that those dating sites are really starting to become weird sites, you know, and you don't know what you're going to see on the site there. So what do you do when you ask, when someone comes up to you and says, I'm lonely? How do you guide them? How do you put them in a direction? Oh, well, you know, maybe, I don't know, let's exert all of our friends and see if we can hook you up with one of our friends. You know, I believe that God has something special for all of our lives. Like, look how God put the two of you together. That was beautiful. Happened to be through one of the sites, but, you know, it worked out wonderful. You know, that's a miracle. It's a miracle, and it's beautiful. But life, God looks at it as it's precious for each and every one of us. And he has given each and every one of us a life. And we need to find it. You know, this is what the gospel is all about, finding this life that God has given us. And he's saying, come into holiness. Come on, become holy, for I am holy. It's connected to our inheritance. The hopes and the dreams that are in our lives is our inheritance. Our life is our inheritance. And everything that consists of our life consists of our hopes and dreams, which brings, I call these precious pearls of joy and peace and excitement. When you take out joy and peace and excitement out of your life, do you have a life? You see? Most of the time, that's what I believe sin or darkness is stealing from us. And the power that it has, it infiltrates through our minds. The power of darkness, evilness, you want to call Satan, devil, you want to call it robbery, because what are they stealing from us? Our life. And our life is being stolen. And it's being stolen based on how we're thinking. And our thought pattern is robbing our actions. And we don't do anything. I would have been held back by giving my daughter her birthday present because of the thought. And that thought, by holding back from giving, am I trusting in God? I'm not trusting in Him. I'm falling in worry. I'm falling in fear. I'm falling in self-pity and all this other garbage. I'm falling into traps. But what had happened is I overcame. And those who overcome, He grants us a seat in that heavenly realm. And in that heavenly realm, that seat, I believe, is where our blessings are, our inheritances, our healings, our gifts, our whatever else comes our way. And we have not because we're not really asking. We have not because we're not really applying. We're not putting ourselves in that situation. And we're being too carnally minded. Yes, your circumstances are what they are. Yes, we're not going to deny it. We're not going to be Fruit Loops and say that these things don't exist. I'm not saying to be a Fruit Loop. What I'm saying is, yes, they exist, but overcome them. Overcome them. Overcome them. Because when you overcome them, you succeed. You come into a place of blessing. And all I can say is, please believe this gospel, because it will give you a life. Not saying it's easy. I'm not saying, okay? When you alter your thoughts and you embrace the mind of Christ and you no longer think the way you think before, this is called being born again. This is what it is to be born again. I used to think this way, and now I'm thinking this way. I used to think and live this way, now I'm thinking and living this way. You're becoming born again. And when you become born again, you are becoming holy. You are now coming into holiness. And God is saying, be holy, for I am holy. Amen? Amen. With that being said, I'm going to end this message. But I think before I end it, I want to read the rest of this scripture here. It says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So the conduct is renewing your mind so that you can perform faith. You can perform believing in him. Who's your father? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, your circumstances, it is what it is. But can they change? Can your circumstances change? If God is not the God of miracles, signs, and wonders, then what is he? Does he know what you need? Does he know what you want? Then if he knows what we need and we know what we want, then why isn't he not giving them to us? Oh, maybe because we're guilty. Maybe we did something wrong. Maybe we're ashamed. Maybe we're condemned. Wrong. That's why he says, come out of it. There is none of that. So, your circumstances. My circumstances are the way they are. Why? Because I'm a bad person? I did something wrong? No. It is what it is. And they're there to strengthen me in my faith. They're there to strengthen me in my relationship with him. It's there to show me his glory. As I get out of myself, because what robs me from him? Myself. No one has did this to me. I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my friends. I can't even blame myself. Right? Isn't that what scripture says too? We can't blame anyone. We can't even blame ourselves. We didn't do anything wrong. This is the mind of Christ. This thinking pattern is the mind of Christ. And then when we can begin to learn from it, okay, Lord, direct my footsteps. You know what he says? Finally. Finally you're making me your God. Because you're called. If you weren't called, I would say that you wouldn't have any circumstances. Everything would be wonderful. Everything would be great. You know? And then sometimes these things happen and he calls you back. He'll never give you more than you can handle. So you might be in a period of your life right now that everything is perfect. Everything is good. There's no problems going on. Well, that's good. Enjoy the moment. Because when you're called, boom. When you finally got a little strength and you can handle a little bit more, the whammies come. That's just the way they are. The whammies come. I come into a place of rest and then I prepare myself. I enjoy the time of rest. Because when the resting period is over, I know I got a letter coming in the mail, I got a phone call coming, or I'm facing a circumstance that I got to address, or whatever. But there's some problem that is facing me, and it's knocking at the door. But it's not because I did anything wrong. It's not because I'm a bad person. It's not because of circumstances that happened in the life. I bet you, if you really search your heart, your situation, you're pointing fingers at. You're either blaming somebody or something. Don't I get an amen on this one? Because you can't lie. You can't lie. I had to be honest with myself, and I had to look at certain things in my own life, and I couldn't lie to myself anymore because it wasn't going away. If you keep lying to yourself and you keep pointing fingers or blaming somebody else or even blaming yourself, guess what? Your problem will not go away. It won't. You will stay in that circumstance. You will live in the miry pit. And your circumstances will never change. You will enter into what Pastor Sam always says, a life of insanity. Expecting changes when you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. You live in a life of insanity. And that's probably the greatest wisdom that anyone could share because it's so true. But when you can change your mind and change your thoughts and change your heart into the realm of glory and embrace that grace and move into the miraculous. And when I say miraculous, you can't do it. You can't provide it. You don't have it. But you have faith. You have hope. You have the moment. And if you can live in the moment, how many people are beginning to see this? Amen. And you live in that moment and you give and do what your heart is moving you to do. And you live in that moment with faith, God begins to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. And your life begins to unfold. And when I mean your life begins to unfold, I mean you begin to obtain peace. You begin to obtain joy. You begin to obtain happiness. Now, if selling all the goats bring you joy and happiness and a peace of mind, then that's what it is. That's life. If it's to meet somebody special, come knocking at your door, because you happen to, you know, walk in a direction of faith, so be it. If these things begin to transpire, amen. It's all by this, renewing the mind. It's all by changing the way we're thinking and coming into a place of the mind of Christ so that we can come into holiness. We all are beginning to understand that we are one without sin. And if you think that you have sin, shame on you at this point. We control ourselves and we come out of sin. Now, yes, the scripture says, if you say you don't have sin, then you're a liar. I'm not talking about someone who doesn't understand grace. I'm talking about someone who understands grace. If you understand grace, then the grace is what saves you. The grace is what takes away the sin. Grace is what removes the sin out of your life by changing the way you're thinking. And if you don't renew your mind and don't renew your thoughts and control your heart, then you're going to run into troubles. I want to be one that walks in miracle signs and wonders. How many here want to walk in miracle signs and wonders? And if you're going to want to walk in miracle signs and wonders, guess what? You got to have faith. You got to be able to do those things that you can't do. You got to be able to put yourself out in areas that are going to go against what you really want to do. Your heart is deceivingly wicked, and it's going to create lies. It's going to say, but you don't have it to give. You can't do that because you're facing bills. Or you can't go there because you're not pretty enough, or you're not gorgeous enough, or your physical condition is not capable enough, or whatever. How many people fight those lies alone? They're lies. They're lies. And we have to understand that anything negative, all right, I'm going to make it simple for everyone that's here. I don't even know if this is reaching recording time, probably over recording time. I don't know. But I'm going to share this with those that are here. Anything that is negative, anything that is trying to hold you back, anything is a lie. It's a lie. And I hope and pray that you can discern those lies in your life and go against them and do what according to your heart is saying. Now, there are times where we can't discern. And yes, we might have to go to someone and check. And that's the importance of looking for counsel, going to those who are at peace, going to those who are, you know, really looking out for your best interest. And don't forsake the counsel of the brethren. And I really mean that with all my heart. Because a lot of times, and I want to say, the sin that's in our lives, and the love of life, or the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, which is the world, when we're in the world, it's very hard to discern or understand the will of God in our lives. It's very hard to understand and how to walk in faith. And so take advantage of the counsel. Take advantage of it. And that counsel can come to anyone who you feel that's trustworthy, that has your best interest. Amen? Amen. If we can have every head bowed for a moment. Father, I thank you, Lord, for one, continuing to pour grace in our lives. A simple, come to me in holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. Now, you know our weakness. You know our weakness, Lord. And so, I ask that you forgive us in our weakness. Have mercy on our weakness, because I always fall short of your glory. I always fall short of your grace. Forgive me. What I'm asking now is to give us strength. As we move forward, Lord, I know that you're going to test us. I know that tomorrow or later today or that throughout this week, there's going to be tests. You're going to test this message. You're going to test it on our hearts. You're going to put us through situations. What are we going to do with them? Lord, I ask that you open up our eyes so that we can see. Don't let our hearts be troubled. Give us strength so that our hearts aren't troubled. I know that sometimes we do pay for our actions. What we have done today or yesterday, forgive us so that we don't pay for our actions. I don't want to learn anymore. I hope that I have learned what I needed to learn. What I'm asking is give us strength to move forward now. Give us strength to be able to war against the enemy that is trying to steal the divine nature of Christ in ourselves. You have called us and planted a seed in us. Now let us bring a harvest. Let us begin to raise this Christ up and become born again. Give us this strength that we need so badly. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know this, Lord. And so we're asking to let us empower this gospel with signs, wonders, and miracles following us, so that we can be the light of your word, so that we can be a light of your gospel, so that we can be people set apart to say, truly, God is with them. And let us be a testimony to you. Now I ask, Lord, I'm going to ask something supernatural. And I want those that are here, embrace this moment of an open heaven. You're battling something right now. Whether it's you're battling health conditions, weight conditions, physical appearance conditions, financial conditions, living conditions. You're battling something. I want you to bring one of them up in your heart. Which one do you want the most? I want you to embrace the one you want the most. What are you willing to sacrifice? I got a lot of requests, but I'm asking the Lord for one. I'm willing to lay the other ones down. I want one request to be answered. Now don't be quick with your request, but pick one. What is it that is going to bring you to another level of holiness to Him? I'm going to share my request. I want to give. I want to give abundantly. I want to give. Now that's my request. Your request could be anything. I want to give everything I have. When I see someone that has a need, I want to give. And not worry about tomorrow. That's my request. I want to give and not worry about tomorrow. I want to give to my debtors, because they deserve to get something. I want to give to my loved ones because they deserve something. And I don't want to worry about tomorrow. Now, did everybody think of their request? Because here it comes. Oh, hallelujah. It's fallen. It's fallen. It's fallen. Now, I said something that was a key part of your request. Not worry about tomorrow. That is a corporate request. I asked the Lord, when they gave their request, that what came along with it is not worry about tomorrow. Everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine in your life. I truly believe that what God has taken, I want to say us through, because we become one in the body, is for us to see something that we haven't seen before. That we realize that we really can't be involved with the world. The world will rob, steal, kill, destroy, stab you in the back, and lie to you unconditionally. With that being said, moving forward, embrace. I feel unity. I feel that God is going to lead us and guide us into your dream. You're going to be prosperous and things are going to be done in the will of Him. Through that, signs and wonders and miracles are going to follow because of the grace that He has given us. Patience is what we're needing right now. But if we can subdue the inconveniences, the annoyances, the things that we're not too happy about, and begin to let them go, signs and wonders and miracles are going to be following. The enemy has no access to the future. Moving forward with this grace, prosperity is coming. You're right on the threshold. And I'm going to say within the next 3 months, you're going to see a dramatic change. Within the first month, you're going to begin to see a lot of hope. This week is going to be like a weight off your shoulders. Within the next couple of weeks coming up, good words are going to be flooding over you, and it's just going to be washing over you. Within 1 month, your hopes are going to be flying high. Just start thanking Him. Start thanking Him. Don't fall short of His glory. This is something that we have to be careful about, all of us. When good things begin to transpire, never fall short of the glory. Don't go back. Continue to go forward. Rejoice in all things. How quickly is it when things are going well, we begin to start complaining? Why is that? It's the nature of the world. It's the nature. Pride of life. It's the nature. When things begin to start doing good, start rejoicing. And stay in that place of rejoicing. Don't find things to complain about. No matter how hard as it gets, don't find things to complain about. Can I see your little boy? Keep him feeding. Keep that ninny in his mouth. You know, miracles have been following this little baby, and that's a really good thing.